Ephesians chapter 6, as we continue to talk about the whole armor of God. You say, Pastor, we're done with that. We've even gone beyond and covered prayer. Yes, we have. But today we're going to give some purpose to the whole armor of God, all right? So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we are going to read verses 10 through 20. If you will join me out loud on the even verses, I will read by myself on the odd verses as we go through this passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6 altogether. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I hope that you've enjoyed this study in Ephesians chapter 6. I hope it's been beneficial for you as a Christian, moving forward in the Christian life. As we look at the text here this morning and just take in the sense of all that we've spoken about to this date. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you can always go back to our Facebook page and look at the old messages and listen to those. I promise it won't hurt you too much. Okay, just maybe a little bit, but not too much. But it probably, hopefully, will be a blessing to you. But as we just kind of look quickly, as Paul speaks, he's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, to those that have received the gospel, to those that have had forgiveness of their sins and received salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that they should be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, Christian, don't take for granted that it's not you who's doing the standing. Christ is the one standing for us. We're to stand in His might. We're supposed to be strong in Him. But putting on the whole armor of God. It's God's armor, not our own. We don't manufacture this for ourselves. These are not things that we devise of our own cunning and our own abilities. But rather, it's stuff that's given to us by Almighty God. For our benefit. For our protection. For our success. God wants us to succeed. To be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And brothers and sisters, do not forget, he is a crafty being. Deceiving. Subtle. We've talked about his devices. And the Bible even encourages us not to be ignorant of his devices. We put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand. We put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to wrestle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know, folks, today, we are in that dark time, aren't we not? Those principalities, those powers, those rulers in high places, in the spiritual wickedness in high places, they're all about us. And they seem to be growing, don't they? It seems to be getting worse and worse Oh, gee, I think I read that somewhere. That's going to be happening in our day, in our time. But what are we supposed to do? Oh, no, let's give up. It's too hard. We can't make it. The Bible even says that these things are going to happen. Not so that we wither away. Not so that we wilt under the stress. But so that we stand and withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. So to what end then do we stand and withstand? And do we put on this whole armor of God and protect ourselves and work within the power of God? Let me remind you, before we get into the body of the sermon today, go back to Matthew chapter 28 and to Jesus' words that he gives his disciples upon his departure. He tells them what this is for, why we're supposed to be equipped, why we're supposed to stand and withstand. Beginning in verse 18, Jesus says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Then flip over a few books of the Bible to the book of Acts in chapter 1. As Jesus is preparing to ascend up into heaven after his resurrection. In verse 7 he says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Whose was it to give this power away? Christ's. And to whom did he bestow it upon? His disciples, the believers, the saved. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us, for there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that we're condemned already in our trespasses and sins. But the Bible also says that upon Jesus Christ, that's what Jesus told Peter, upon this rock. He wasn't talking about Peter, folks. He certainly wasn't talking about such and such church. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You understand that we're supposed to be pushing forward. We're supposed to be using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit, not being drunk with wine where in is excess, but filled with the Spirit. It's His power. It's His might. And we're supposed to be going forward, and we're supposed to be going forward and being a witness to all of those in our path, rescuing them from hell, weakening the foundations of hell with the swinging of the sword of the Spirit, praying with all prayer and supplication, watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now flip back to our text. Paul says, pray for all the brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for all those that are standing with you in this evil day. And then he says, and for me. Paul says, pray for me. Pray for me. Ephesians, Timothy was more than likely the pastor of the church at this time. He says, hey, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I looked at this word utterance. I thought it was interesting. So we're all geared up, loins girt about, feet shod, righteousness, helmet, shield, sword, prayer. To what end? That utterance may be given unto me. He says, folks, pray that I'll be able to utter words, that I'll be able to pronounce, that I'll be able to have vocal expression, that I'll be able to have a manner of speaking. We talked in our Sunday school lesson this morning about Paul there on Mars Hill, eloquently proclaiming to the Athenians the unknown God that they worshiped ignorantly. And guess what? To the point where some mocked, some said, we'll hear you again, and some believed. You understand, folks, that there's a cause out there. The fields are white already unto harvest. There are people that need to hear the gospel, and we're the ones suited up, strengthened by the Lord, able to stand and withstand and preach the gospel to every creature. All power has been given. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. We've already been encouraged to be filled with the Spirit, wielding the sword of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, full of the Spirit of God, powerful in the Lord to utter the wonderful works of God. Or in Acts chapter 2, you understand that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know what those disciples were doing? First of all, obviously they were a little shell-shocked, weren't they? I mean, they had just seen their Savior float away in a cloud up into heaven. You know, they had this look. He said, how do you know? Well, the angel said, why stand you here gazing? You know, isn't that what... Whoa. Okay. Go on. Go on about your business. What did they do? They gathered together. One accord in one place. Prayer, supplication, waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. So they did that. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now very quickly, we do not have time to go through this. This is not some heavenly language. These are known languages that were meant to reach those that were in the city from foreign countries for Christ. These people were Galileans. They were uneducated fishermen and tax collectors and just all sorts from all places. They didn't know the different languages. They didn't know the different cultures. They didn't know how to reach these people for Christ that were gathered together during this day of Pentecost here in Jerusalem. But the Holy Spirit gave them the words to say. The Holy Spirit gave them the utterance to be able to speak to everyone the wonderful works of God. You say, Pastor, how do you know that's true? How do you know it wasn't some kind of heavenly language? Well, I'm reading out of Acts chapter 2, and look what it says. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, check, devout men out of every nation under heaven. That's a lot of different languages. You say, what languages? Well, it says this. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, I'm not here to make fun of any particular denomination or religion. I just know how to read the Bible. And I just know what words mean because I actually looked them up in a dictionary. I'm not going off of some emotionalism or some tradition of men. It just says what it says, folks. They heard them speak in their own language. So if you speak German, guess what you would have heard? German. And if you spoke Spanish, you'd hear Spanish. And if you spoke Portuguese, you'd hear Portuguese. And if you spoke English, you'd hear English. And whatever language you spoke, that's the language you'd hear. They heard them speak in their own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" Hello? They're not scholars. They don't know all these different languages of the world, but yet we hear them in our own tongue. You say, how much more evidence do you have that this was not some kind of heavenly language? Let's read on. It says, "And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" Do any of these people live in heaven and speak some kind of heavenly language? Were they born there? No. You say, you're really making fun. I'm not. I'm just kind of a realist in this fashion. It says what it says, folks. You say, do we need more proof? Sure. How about I list to you the countries and the languages? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, like I said, I'm not here to rain on anybody else's parade. Although I do like rain. And I do like parades. But can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit did what? Gave them utterance. And what words did he give them in these different languages? He gave them the wonderful works of God. And let me ask you a question. What is the most wonderful work of God that has ever been done in this universe? Salvation. For God, I'm wearing the tie today. You want to read my tie? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, do what? Believeth in him, should not perish. But what? Yeah. That's the most wonderful work God has ever done. See, what about creation? Oh yeah, that was great. What about salvation? That's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Sorry, Mrs. Combs. She understands. You're the second greatest thing to happen. Ah,
brownie points.
Okay. Listen, folks. Utterance, speaking words. Think about all the vain things that come out of our mouths that are not directed by the Holy Spirit of God. That are not really worth the defense and the purpose that the armor of God brings to us. We ought to be, hey, I'm looking at the power of the Lord and the whole armor of God and the praying always in the Spirit and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, being filled with the Holy Ghost, to talk about vain things, to utter vain thoughts, to utter nonsense, to regurgitate things that don't have any value to the spiritual life. Why? What a waste of resources, huh? We ought to be looking to the Holy Spirit of God to give us utterance, as the church did in Acts chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says to the Corinthians, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, that word sanctified simply means to be set apart for a purpose. Would you be able to agree with me that those that are putting on the whole armor of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, are set apart for a purpose? Amen. Sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and all that in every place call upon the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I thank God always upon your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you in the unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why put on the whole armor of God? Why be strengthened for the battle? So that we can have utterance. Being able to speak words in all knowledge, set apart, sanctified, enriched by Him. Not by our own thoughts or our own devices. I'm looking at a bunch of folks here. Very smart people. Learned people, educated people, or as I like to say, edumacated people. We can put together a sentence, most of us. Right? You say, don't ask me to diagram one. Okay? I won't. I wouldn't torture people like that. I may ask you to do an algebraic equation later on, but I wouldn't ask you to diagram anything. I'm a math guy, if you didn't know that, okay? I love to hate English. It's wonderful. Now, we have a purpose. We're not enriched by our own knowledge, our human reasoning, but rather by that of spiritual things through the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul continues and writes to the Corinthians again and says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God, bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Therefore," so because all this happened, they gave themselves to the Lord, Titus was doing a work in them through the words of Christ and the discipleship of these Corinthians. He says here that therefore, as ye abound in everything. So what was happening in them? They were putting on the whole armor of God. They were praying always. They were being strengthened as soldiers of Jesus Christ, enduring hardness, overcoming difficulties and trials. He says, all these are happening to you. He says, therefore, as ye abound. What does it mean to abound? To overflow, right? To have more than enough. So as this abounds in them, in everything, he says, in faith, that's great. That means their shield is getting larger and larger, right? As they're holding the shield of faith. But he says, not only in faith are you abounding. He says, but you're abounding in utterance. He says, abound in everything, in faith, and utterance. It means the words that they speak. The things that come out of their mouth. The words that they pronounce and have a manner of speaking, their vocal expression. Utterance is abounding unto them. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer." What did Paul say? Praying always, in all prayer, in all supplication for all saints, right? "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me." So Paul says, continue in prayer and watch in the same. Well, he said that too, right? "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance." You say, man, I never knew that word was so important. It is.
The words that we speak are important. And it's important where they come from. It's important where they come from. Hey, if they come from our heart, bad idea. If they come from our mind, bad idea. If they come from other places, bad idea. But if they come from God, ding, 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 right place. If they come from the Spirit of God, ding, 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 ding. If they come from Jesus Christ, ding, 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 ding. We're hitting on right here. Do you see where the utterance is supposed to stem from? What's supposed to be the source of the words that we speak? God. The things of God. The Word of God. The Spirit of God. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. How many times have you wanted to know what to say to someone? And you rack your brain and you search your heart and you say, what can I say? And you don't know what to say. Or you say the wrong thing. We need to pray and ask God to open unto us a door of utterance. There's a comma there in that passage in Colossians chapter 4. It says this, to speak the mystery of Christ. That's what we're supposed to utter. Preach the gospel to every creature. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul goes on back in our text. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Hey, this is wonderful. There's a progression here. God, give me the words to say. The things that are supposed to come out of my mouth, that I can pronounce them, that I can speak them, that I can that I know exactly how to put them into sentence formation, so that they be able to be understandable by those who are hearing. That's great, but if all those things flood into your mind and the senses trickle them down to the muscular parts of your mouth, and you go like this. You have utterance, but what do you got to do? You say, this is so simple. I know, isn't it wonderful? Open your mouth. How many times have we kept silent when we should have spoken up? Hey, listen, I'm not here to be political today, and I'm not going to, but I want you to answer a question for me. How can a group of people that are smaller than another group of people be louder than the larger group of people? Because they're opening their mouth. There's a group of people in this world that are much smaller than any other group of people, and they're the noisiest people I can hear. And it's awful. And they're getting things done and changing things in our country and in our world that ought not to be changed. But why? Because we that have utterance are not opening our mouths. Because we're afraid that if we do open our mouths, they'll call us hate mongers. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Paul said, pray for me, that I can have the words to say. God, you'd let me know what to say. You guide my words, guide my tongue, guide my pronunciations and all those things, and then open my mouth. Can't utter words unless you open your mouth. You can try to be a ventriloquist, I guess. I never mastered that. I kind of am a dummy, so maybe God's the ventriloquist. That's a good idea. Come on. You know, we open our mouth for a lot of things. For me, donuts is a good reason to open your mouth. But we need to open our mouth for other reasons. To speak the wonderful words of God. David said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. That's all great, right? Having a right relationship with God, being restored to fellowship with God, fantastic. Again, putting on the whole armor of God, being strong and standing and withstanding, but for what? David said, then, after I'm restored, after I'm cleansed, after I'm close to God, I have the Holy Spirit of God, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Why does Paul end this particular passage of scripture? Saying, hey, pray for perseverance. We're standing and withstanding. We're in a battle. We're wrestling. We're the wiles of the devil. The fiery darts of the wicked are coming in. The sword of the Spirit is being swung and wielded. Pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. In Psalm 78, David says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have known, heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Got to open our mouth. Why don't the next generations know about God? Is it because utterance hasn't been given to people? No, because we won't open our mouth. Hey, listen, if you don't tell them about God, somebody else will. And they'll tell them the wrong things about God. That there is no God. That God's a fairy tale. That there are many gods. There are many ways to heaven. But we should tell them what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We need to open our mouth. And may I say, we need to open it boldly. Paul could have just said, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth. Right? He could have said that. Did he need an adverb? I like L-Y words. L-Y words are fun. You all know what adverbs are. I'm not getting too deep and turning you sour by way of English preparations. No, okay. Because it turns me sour sometimes. Especially when they break the rules. You know, he said boldly. To what extent was he to open his mouth? Boldly. Open how? Open boldly. Do not be afraid of the naysayers out there. What does God tell us to do? To stand in the evil day. So when I open my mouth and I say, thus saith the Lord, if they don't like it, I don't care. I don't care. And we ought not to care because it's God's word, not my words. It's His utterance, not my utterance. I'm just a mouthpiece. And guess what a good mouthpiece does? I got a mouthpiece right there. You know what it does? A good mouthpiece resonates. It lets sound go through it. And you ought to let the utterance given by God to open through your mouth and come out and reach the hearer's ears. That's how it ought to be. As we utter and open our mouth boldly. Look at verse 20. You guys are taking too long today to listen. He says, to accentuate his point, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. That therein, in this state that I'm in this ambassadorship that I am imprisoned, he said, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, over in Romans chapter 12, it says that these things are our reasonable service. Being holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. As we prepare and put on the whole armor of God and take unto us the whole armor of God and having our loins girded about with truth and having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and having on the breastplate of righteousness and taking unto us the shield of faith and taking the helmet of salvation and praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints, that utterance may be given unto me. And I may open my mouth boldly and that I might speak as I ought to speak. It's just something I should do. It's just something I should be. Everywhere I go. You know, it ought to be something that we do. We ought to articulate these sounds. We ought to express our thoughts by words. And this is something that we do. And this is something that we ought to do. We should do. You know, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works that we should walk in them. We're putting on the whole armor of God that we should stand and we should withstand and we should speak and we should open our mouth and speak boldly as we ought to speak. Moses says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon a tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Hey, anybody think that's bold? Yeah, just a little bit. Folks, we have the truth. We know the truth. Hey, many of you in here have accepted that truth for yourselves. Lord, save me. And you have the Holy Spirit. And you have salvation. And you have these things. For what end? That utterance may be given unto me. That I may open my mouth boldly. And that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. After being beaten, ridiculed, judged, the disciples withered up and died, ran away, moved into a corner, and didn't utter Jesus Christ's name again. That's not what I read. I read in Acts chapter 4, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know what happens in Acts chapter 5? Wildfire sets forth in this earth. The church is scattered abroad. They begin to do the work of God all over this earth. And they're seeing people saved and seeing churches started. And God's word is just scattering like wildfire. They're going everywhere preaching the gospel. That's what I want it to be like here in Wiley. Saturating into Murphy. In Sachse, over here into St. Paul, up into Lucas, over yonder, that's a good Texas term, in Nevada, looks like Nevada to me, but that's a state, this is a city, That's the only thing I can come to a conclusion. Yeah. Levon, Cattle Mills, Farmersville. Hey, they need the gospel. We need to share it. We need to speak boldly as we ought to speak. And where does this power come from? Praying. With all prayer and supplication for all saints. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are given utterance by the Holy Spirit of God. We have mouths to open. All we need to do is open them and speak boldly the things we ought to speak. Paul was a good example. When he came to Jerusalem, right after his conversion, all the disciples were afraid of him. He's the enemy. He's still Saul of Tarsus. He's the guy that was arresting us and killing us and persecuting us. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And that he was with them, coming in and going out in Jerusalem, and he spake boldly. This is Saul. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But when they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. You see, why do you read this particular passage of Scripture? By their fruits ye shall know them. By the words that come out of your mouth, I shall know you. How come these disciples that were afraid of him believed that he really was born again? Because of what came out of his mouth. They saw the sincerity and the truth, and they knew that his life had been transformed. Does anybody that you know your life has been transformed? Do you speak boldly as you ought to speak? Or do we just keep quiet? Folks, I'm just trying to say, and I'm over time today, I'm sorry. There's a purpose for putting on the whole armor of God. There's a purpose for praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. That utterance may be given unto me. That I may open my mouth boldly and I may speak as I ought to speak. As we stand, withstand, and having done all to stand, may we open our mouths and preach the wonderful works of God. Are they wonderful to you? Has your life been transformed by the precious blood of Christ? Then open your mouth and speak boldly as you ought to speak. Show to the generations to come the wonderful works of God, because we are equipped to do it. The utterance has been given. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. The whole armor of God is for you to be able to persevere. If we'll just do it. That's what God wants of us.